Baptism. Like I said, just in 2 weeks, we'll have our church picnic down at the harbor, and looking forward to that. And, I'm kind of old fashioned. I like people to know what they're doing. Yeah, baptism is one of those things that, as a pastor, I've had people come and say, "Hey, I want to get baptized." And I'm like, "Great, excited." And I'll ask, "Why?" And they're like, "Well, because I'm supposed to." I said, "Well, that is sort of a valid answer in some ways, but do you know why?" And people have all kinds of different things. I had one lady said, "I want my son to be baptized." I was like, "Well, all right, let me talk to him." Right? And because usually what I find is kids get around 8, 9. It depends on the child and the maturity. Really start to understand what this is about. And her child was right about that age. And he goes, "He wants it, I want my son to be baptized." I said, "Oh, great, I'd like to talk to him." And I have this handy-dandy worksheet that I give out and have him go through. And she goes, "Well, no, but he doesn't want to." I was like, "Well, what?" And she goes, "No, I want him to be baptized, but he doesn't want to." And I was like, "Well, why do you want him to?" She goes, "Because I want him to go to heaven." I was like, "Okay, let's take a step back," right? And I just couldn't get over that. So I can picture it now, coming down to the harbor, and I'll dunk a kid who doesn't want to. I'd be like trying to give a cat a bath. That'd be a sight to see. Right? But there's a lot of misconceptions of what baptism is. And so it's good for us, and I know some of you have been baptized, and you guys have this all down pat. You say, "Well, Pastor, we went over this last year." And I said, "Yeah, we've gone over it last year, but I think it's a good reminder for us." And for those who don't know, and now we're on the case where we're online, and actually the last few years we've had people who watch online who say, "Hey, you know what, I want to get baptized." Because baptism is not a Stockton Springs Community Church thing. This is a Christian thing. And we see as Paul went and ministered and preached the gospel, that in here people got baptized, really sort of not through the church. Right? You see Paul in prison, and a jailer got saved. So you took him down and got him baptized. We have Philip with a eunuch heading down the road, right? They didn't stop and say, "Oh, wait, we got to go to church first." That's right? This is a church thing. This is your relationship with Christ thing. And so I've baptized people who were not members of the church, who said, "I just want to be obedient to God." And I see no scriptural authority I have to say no. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and want to be baptized, I think we have an obligation to help people in that walk with the Lord. So we're just going to go through this morning. And if you got a pen or pencil, I should have warned you that, it's not homework. I'm not going to collect this. But it helps you to kind of keep on track of what we're talking about. And this is usually a paper I give to those who want to get baptized. So we talk about the method, right? We talk about the idea of baptism and what that idea has, right? What does it mean? Because some churches will take and will baptize by immersion, right? We'll put you all under. Some churches will take a pitcher and pour it on. Others will take a little bit of water and sprinkle it on, right? So what exactly is baptism? Actually, during COVID, I saw a friend of mine posted a church that, because of COVID not getting close, the priest loaded up a squirt gun and was squirting. I was like, that's unique. COVID did strange things. Right? So anyway, we talk about what the method is. And actually the word baptize comes from the Greek word baptizo, which means to dip, to plunge, and to immerse. So the Greek word means to dip. I always like to say, if you have a nice warm cup of coffee and you have a freshly raised glazed donut, there's not many things that are better than taking that and dipping that in the coffee, right? That would be the word baptizo. That means to dip or to immerse. So the word itself tells us an idea of what we're talking about here. And that's important for us to realize. We turn around and say, "Well, wait a minute, if the word means to baptize, means to dip or immerse, how come our Bible says the word baptize, how come it doesn't say immerse?" Good question. Because actually, when the Bible was translated into English, you had King James, one of the rules that they had was not to translate this word. Because the Anglican church was, I can't remember, sprinkling or pouring at that point. And so, not to cause ruffles within the Anglican church, or the Episcopalian church, depends on what side of the ocean you're on, in order not to offend them, actually, the rule was not to translate this word, but just to kind of American or Englishize it. And so baptizo became baptize. But the word does mean to dip, to plunge, or to immerse. Matthew 3:16, it says, and when he had been baptized, Jesus came, what, up immediately from the water. And behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God ascending like a dove and alighting on him. And this is John the Baptist who's baptizing. And in here, we see that when Jesus was baptized, he went down, but in order to go, you go down, you come what? Up. So we see sort of this positional idea with the water, right? So when we baptize, you guys have all seen a baptism, right? Most of you guys have come down to the churches here. We go down to the harbor, and I say, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I take the person, and I put them down. And if you put them down, it's really important to do what? To bring them back up. Everyone's concerned over that. No one's worried about the down part. That it's like, oh, Pastor, how long until you bring me back up? Right? So anyway, we have right off the bat, if you read the scriptures, that in here we see this motion taking place of going down and then coming back up. John 3:23 says this. It says, now John was baptized in Aenon near Siloam because there was what? Much water there. And they came and were baptized. Well, why would John choose a place that had a lot of water if we were just pouring or sprinkling taking place? And so it's interesting because in the Middle East, they've gone into villages, dug up cities, and they have found what almost looks like water troughs. Stone, right? And those were ancient baptismals that they would take and build up and make these, like I said, almost tubs, and fill them with water to baptize people. Well, why would they go through all of that if just the idea of sprinkling? And actually, the Catholic Church, very early in history, were baptizing by immersion. It was just later on that they started to sprinkle and pour, especially getting the idea of infant baptism, because people really kind of frown on when you're taking children and dunking them down in the water. And so it became much more an idea of sprinkling, especially as the age started to get younger and younger. But throughout the Bible, we see this. John chose this place because there's a lot of water there. Why? Because they were immersing the people in baptism. Acts chapter 8 talks about the Ethiopian eunuch. And it says, and he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went into the water, and he baptized him. And we're going to see later on as they came up through, the eunuch was like, hey, what hinders me from being baptized? And Philip said, believe. And so he came to a place, he said, look, we've been talking about this, we talk about giving my life to the Lord, we've talked about baptism. Hey, here's a spot where there's a lot of water. Let's go down. And so they found a spot where there was enough water for both Philip and the eunuch to go into. And so we see this idea, once again, the method really seems to be by immersion. We're going to get into that a little bit more. When we talk about the meaning of it, it really makes sense when we talk about the idea of immersion. And that's why we as a church, we baptize by immersion, because I think it's the most biblical model of lining up. And call me old-fashioned, but I kind of like to do what the Bible says. So we talk about the method, right, of being baptized in water. Now, it doesn't matter if it's fresh water or salt water. I just think it's really cool. I know you guys are kind of old hat because you guys grew up in the ocean. But I think it is the coolest thing that we get to baptize in the ocean. That is cool. You know, I know it's a little chilly, but it's okay, right? I wouldn't say anything about temperature of the water. And after you're numb, you don't feel anything. So it's not so bad. But it is so cool, right? But it doesn't talk about where. It doesn't matter if it's in a church building. Doesn't matter if it's a lake. Doesn't matter if it's a stream. Doesn't matter. Well, it seems to be the methodology of it. Seems to be a place with lots of water by immersion. So as long as you got enough water to get everyone down, you're all set. I was reading about a church in California that baptisms, they do it in jacuzzis. And so they can do jacuzzis for Jesus. And they go baptize in a hot tub. Now, if I could talk to the church into investing in a hot tub for the parsonage, I'd do a baptism once a year. That'd be a good idea. But anyway, the methodology, once again, has to do with that idea of immersion. And when we talk about the idea, why that's important, really comes down to the idea of the meaning of it. That baptism is a public memorial that identifies a believer's position with Christ in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Once again, it's a public memorial that identifies the believers in Christ, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. In Romans chapter 6, verse 3, it says this, do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. That just as Christ has raised from the dead for the glory of the Father, even so we also walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, and that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. So anyway, we have this idea, right? It's a public display of a spiritual reality, right? It's an outward demonstration of inward conversion. So we talk about the idea of what baptism is, and that's why we look at the idea of his death, his burial, and his resurrection, of what that looks like. If you picture, right, that if the water was the ground, that the picture of baptism is you take someone and you're baptizing them in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? And you go down under. That's a picture of that burial. So it's Christ's death, his burial. And remember we said the most important part is coming back up. And his resurrection. So you can see this, right? If you're kind of visual, this is a visual representation of being obedient. That, yes, Christ died, was buried, and rose again. Once again, it goes back to the methodology. Why immersion? Because it pictures out that death, his burial, and his resurrection. So it's a physical acting out of a spiritual reality. Once again, the idea of pouring or sprinkling doesn't carry that weight. I've been at many gravesides. I've never been at one where they just threw a little bit of dirt on. Right? Or just poured a little bit of dirt on. But in here, this completely surrender with his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And so it is that. It's that our demonstration of an inward conversion. So we talk about sort of the meaning of it, right? That you can say, yes, I've given my life to the Lord, but I can't see that in someone's life. Now, you can see their behavior, right? Because if someone's saved, they change. All of a sudden, now they're producing fruit. That in your love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control, we have the fruit of the Spirit being activated in our lives. So we can see those things. But if someone says, I'm saved, I believe this, I don't look any different. So what baptism is, that after someone gets saved, is a demonstration to the world of showing them what happened on the inside. That I associate with Christ's death, his burial, and resurrection. Not only that, but it signifies a spiritual resurrection of the new man in Christ. Right? It says, we are buried in him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. So not only does it associate with Christ's death, his burial, and his resurrection, but also what you're signifying is, look, I've died to myself. So in a way, in the waters of baptism, you are saying, I have died. Right? I'm dying to the old man. I'm dying to the old life. And I don't know if you guys probably can't hear it, but when I baptize someone, I baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. I baptize them, I bring them back up. And what I say to that person is now being associated with his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Now walk in newness of life. If you guys never picked that up, next time we do that. Because that's as you come out of the waters. Right? Now nothing spiritual happens. Right? You don't magically transformed. It's water. It's a physical, right? The physical things of this world can't affect the spiritual, right? The spirit. The water doesn't cleanse you spiritually because one's physical and one's spiritual, but it is an outward demonstration of what's happened in your life. And what you're telling all those who walk, because part of this, I think it's an important aspect, is a public testimony. I had a lady who says, you know, I'm kind of shy. I want to get baptized, but I don't want anyone to know it. So she's like, can you come over to my house and baptize me in my pool? And I just don't want anyone to know. I'm like, it kind of goes against the purpose of baptism. Right? And I know churches, you know, have tanks, and so, you know, sometimes it's a more of a private affair. I like it the public, the better. Maybe that's just my personality. We were in one place, we'd go down, and we went down to the river. We used to go off to a camp that was really private, and I said, hey, let's go down to the boat landing in town. And I got a little resistance. They're like, well, Pastor, we go down there, everyone's going to see it. I'm like, exactly. I think John the Baptist went down to the Jordan, and crowds would come out. What's John doing? Right? Oh, why are they getting baptized? And so that gave an opportunity, right? And so we went down, I said, well, let's go. So we went down to the boat landing in the town, and this town was, you know, Coldstream. If you guys know, that's Enfield. And so it's a lot of tourists come up there. There's a lot of camps up there. And so we go to baptism, and I love the old pictures. If you follow the pictures of the baptism we had there, there'd be kayaks and canoes in the background because people were like, what's going on? And so they come over. So we'd have all these people parked in their boats and stuff looking at us. Right? And so it gave us an opportunity to be a witness. What's the meaning of this? Now, these people have given their life to Christ. Right? They're associated with his death, his burial, and his resurrection. That's salvation. But also what this person is doing is saying, look, I am crucifying the old man. I am dying. And now I want to walk in newness of life. And so part of baptism is a promise that you're making not only to God, but also those around you. Right? And now I want to live the Christian life. I'm dying to the old man. And I want to live for Christ. God, have your way in my life. So it's an amazing picture that is given for us to follow him. He says, why is it important? First of all, God commands it. That's kind of important. Right? As Christians, you want to be obedient to what the Lord has for us. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, Jesus, one of the last words while he was on earth, he says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, doing what? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age. Right? One of his last commands was for us to go forth and baptize. Right? Not just witness, but baptize. So today, we are just being obedient to Jesus. And sometimes people will say, well, why should I be baptized? Because baptism isn't for salvation. Right? Salvation is by faith alone. Believe that Christ died on the cross for your sins? That's the saving. Not by works. Right? We're not earning. Baptism is not earning salvation. So sometimes people will be like, well, I want to accept the Lord as my Savior. I want to be saved. I want to go to heaven. You know, but I don't want to get baptized. That's really a foreign concept within the church. That when people get saved, one of the first things we should say is, hey, let's get baptized. It's one of the first steps of obedience in someone's life. Right? Why should I get baptized? Because God wants you to. And as a Christian, shouldn't I want what God wants? You should. So sometimes I'm perplexed in people's lives. Is that I'm a Christian, but I don't want to be baptized. And maybe it's a matter of just not knowing the scriptures. That's why we're doing what we're doing. Because you can't get far into the New Testament until you're faced with the fact that God wants us being obedience, being baptized. Right? It's God's command. Jesus said, look, if you love me, you'll do what? You'll keep his commandments. So just the whole idea of, maybe I don't understand it all, but on obedience, Lord, I want to do what you tell me to do. You know what? And that's a good reason. So if you're here this morning, you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. You are without an excuse. You know God wants you to be baptized. You should do it. Right? Why is baptism important? Jesus was baptized. Matthew chapter 3 says, when John came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him, John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you are coming to me. But Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. And then he allowed him. And when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God ascend like a dove, alighting on him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Once again, baptism isn't for salvation. Baptizing doesn't wash away sins. Jesus had no sins, and yet he was baptized. Why? In obedience. And he did these things to set himself as our example. Right? Jesus was baptized to set an example? Yes. Jesus did it. I want to be like Jesus. So I'm going to do it too. If Jesus, who didn't need it, was obedient to it, how much more so should I? It really comes down to this idea of simple obedience to what God has asked us to do. 1 Peter tells us, for this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving an example that you should follow in his steps. The whole idea of being a Christian means you are Christ-like. And I should want to be like him. And that's what most of the Christian is, to be like him. And he works in me and changes me. Years ago, we had a picture of my oldest daughter when she was little. And I was on the couch, and I was kind of stretched out, and I had my arms up, and I was just kind of like this and kind of zoning out, and I was like that. And my wife sat down to picture, and my daughter had crawled up next to me. And she had put her arms up, and she was stretching out, and she was looking over at me, and you know, and it's like, ah, oh. Melts your little heart. You know, there's a reason why God gave his cute kids, because otherwise you'd kill them. Right? But you have these moments where you're just like, oh, right? Because I want to be like Dad. I want to be like Mom, right? I want to emulate that. You see kids who play grown-up. And it's adorable because they're trying to be like, right? How much more so as Christians should we be imitators of Christ? That because he asked us to, I'm obedient to it. Because I want to be like him, I'm going to follow in his steps. The Bible tells us why baptism is important. Because the early church practiced it. We go all throughout church history and read throughout the book of Acts time and time again. You have people getting saved, and guess what? They got saved and got baptized. Acts chapter 2 says that those who gladly received his word were baptized that day. About 3,000 souls were added to them. Can you imagine? 3,000 people lining up to get baptized. Right? How exciting that would be. I don't know if you guys have seen the movie Jesus Revolution. And you see the Calvary Chapel, right? Lining up at the ocean and people lining up. And it's just, I mean, that is just thrilling to see people in obedience. It does have an effect as you see people, right? It's an outward demonstration of an inward conversion. And we see this all throughout the book of Acts, so much so that we see that people would get saved and get baptized. We see this pattern throughout the book of Acts, that sometimes people have taken these things and kind of linked them together and saying, well, you need to be baptized to be saved. The Bible does not teach that. But it's kind of understandable when you have one thing and the next thing comes right after it. Because the early church saw this, not as, it was two separate events, but not two different happenings. People got saved and then they got baptized. There's no question. You got saved? Let's go down. Right? We knew of a church that always had a podium kind of like this, and underneath the stage was a baptismal tank. And it was always full. And when someone said, I want to get saved, they got saved, brought them back up in there, what they were wearing, and boom, they baptized them right off the bat.
But they're so linked. We see this, that in obedience, as people get saved, they would get baptized. And we see this pattern. And it's really more of a recent phenomenon that we have people getting saved and then years and years and years later who get baptized. Now, if you're in that case, you know, I've been saved for a long time and I haven't been baptized, you know, I'm saying get obedient now. But the biblical picture is people got saved and people got baptized. Why is it important? Because it's a public testimony of faith in Christ. We had friends who were missionaries in Pakistan. And back when they were there, the Taliban was in charge. And people would have a lot to lose when they got saved. Actually, people would get saved and then go down to get baptized. And they knew the big cost it was going to be for them. The whole village would come out to see who the Christians were. And yet people would still line up to get baptized. And as people watched off, they went under, and oftentimes families would ostracize them. Many of them would lose their jobs. Even some of them would get killed. Because it was a public display. Well, you say, well, man, if it was going to cost me, why would I do it? Because what we talked about already of obedience to the Lord. It's interesting. Jesus said this, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. The Apostle Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. We live in an era where so many people are ashamed of the gospel. We're ashamed of Christ. I was listening to a sermon not that long ago, and the pastor got up and started apologizing for the sermon he was going to say. He goes, because I know what the Bible says about these sins, and I wish the Bible didn't say these things, but I have to say it because the Bible says. And I'm like, brother, you shouldn't be apologizing for the Word of God. Not be ashamed. And sometimes it's a matter of practicality, because, Lord, I want you as my Savior, but I don't want you as my Lord. I don't want to have to live for you, right? In baptism, people are going to say, hey, wait, didn't I see you? Didn't you get baptized? How come you're not living what you're doing? And sometimes there's that accountability that people don't want. I want to go to heaven, but I want to live like I want to here. And that's not a biblical picture either. Now, in here is a public display. Don't be ashamed of Jesus. Let the world know. And right now, this world needs that light more than ever before. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your works and glorify your Father in heaven. So who should be baptized? Oh, baptized. You know, we all should get baptized. Acts chapter 2, once again, and those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. Only those who believe can be baptized. Actually, some will classify and call it believer's baptism. That if you haven't accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, right? If you don't believe that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again. If you don't want to turn from your old man and die to self and live for him, then baptism does nothing for you. It's not a merit that's earned. It's not a ticket to heaven. But for those of you who know the Lord Jesus Christ and have accepted him as your Lord and Savior, this is a demonstration of what's taking place. If an unbeliever gets baptized, all they do is get wet. There's no salvation, there's no grace given in these things. And oftentimes we see in some churches where baptism is pushed for younger and younger, this idea of it's for salvation. But the Bible is clear. It says, and they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized, right? Here's the question. Should I be baptized? And then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's it. Right? There's not a certain amount of church attendance you have to go. There's not even a paper you have to fill out. The question is, do you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Do you believe he died on the cross? Do you believe that? And have you accepted that for yourself? If so, the next step for you is to be baptized. And we see this with the eunuch. Right? He came up through, and you know the story. You're going through, and God brings the Philip there, and he sees the eunuch on the chariot. And he comes up, and he's reading the scriptures, and he says, look, do you understand what you're reading? He says, no. He goes, let me get up. And so Philip gets up there and explains to him Jesus. And as he was explaining to him, they come down to where the water is. And he goes, oh, can I be baptized? Well, if you believe. He goes, I believe. So let's do it. So he commanded the chariot to stand still. And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. And in here, through obedience of the word, he got baptized. And once again, we have the picture. They came down. Here's much water here. They come up through, and both Philip and the eunuch went into the water. They went down into the water, and they both came up, rejoicing what God has done, as people are obedient to him. But because it's linked to this idea of belief, right? Baptism without belief is just getting wet. So this excludes infant baptism. Because they cannot believe. There is not one New Testament record of baptism of an infant. Because it has to be obedient, right? It has to be an idea that you can't be baptized for someone. Or you shouldn't do it because of someone. I've talked with over the years. Say, look, I was baptized as a child because my whole family got baptized. And I'm like, did it mean anything to you? He said, no, I was just doing it because everyone else was doing it. And usually cases like that, I say, you should be baptized because you want to. Right? Because it's not for salvation, it's not forgiveness of sin, that maybe you've been baptized as a believer and you've fallen away, right? People say, do I need to get rebaptized? That's not the biblical picture. Baptism is something you only have to do once, as long as you meant it. And this whole idea of baptizing kids, if they aren't aware of it, as a pastor, so many people I have baptized were baptized young. Want to get rebaptized because it meant nothing to them. When we were in the hospital and my wife had her first stillborn, it's interesting, the nurses saw that we were religious, we were praying, and they came up and afterwards they said, look, we found a priest and we had your baby baptized, so your baby's in heaven. And they were trying their best. They were doing what they thought was the right thing. But my baby was in heaven because of the grace of God in his life and not because of the waters of baptism. Right? The water doesn't take care of anything spiritual. But we see this linked in. And like I said, because of that, we have the idea of sprinkling. And we've distorted the scriptures to fit this model. I found this picture I thought it was funny. And here, you know. So today at church, a guy in a suit tried to drown me. And I kid you not, my family just stood there taking pictures. And one of the reasons why I want to do a paper like this, and anyone who wants to get baptized, you don't need to do a worksheet to get baptized. Not at all. But I do want people to understand what they're doing and why. Because then it has more meaning. It's not just an empty spiritual ritual. It's not something to say, now I got baptized and now I'm okay. Well, there's no okay to be. But if it's a picture of being associated with Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, it's a dying to yourself and rising newness in life, then in here it sets you on the path of a Christian life. And so many Christians get perplexed because I think there's a lack of security because there's lack of obedience. Because in here, I get saved and then what? So many people do that. They'll get saved, they'll give their life to the Lord, and then they kind of stall out. And I think one of the first things you can do is get baptized. And that's kind of like the first steps into walking with the Lord. It gets you in the right direction. So that brings us to the last question, is when should a believer be baptized? In Acts 2:41, it says that when those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Acts 16, and he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and immediately he and all his family were baptized. And this is Paul dealing with a prisoner. All right, Paul is a prisoner, dealt with the guard, and he got saved. And they went out that night. Now, that really caused up stirs. Imagine going down to the harbor at midnight, getting baptized. People really wonder what's going on. But we see this obedience. When should someone be baptized? And the biblical picture is clear. As soon as salvation takes place, the next thing that person should do is be baptized. And so if you're here this morning, and you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I encourage you, if you haven't been baptized, talk to me. You know, 2 weeks from today, we're going to be down at the harbor. Take that step of obedience in following him. If you have any questions, please let me know. I'll gladly walk you through, answer any questions you have. You can turn around and say, well, I was baptized as a baby. And my question for you is, did that mean anything to you? If not, then I believe believer's baptism says that you should get baptized again. In obedience to him. It doesn't save, but in submission to God, as a testimony to those around me, to follow through the waters of baptism. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for the clear teaching of it, Lord. That baptism does not save, but Lord, is in obedience to you, Lord. Oh, help us to be like you. Lord, help us to take that walk of faith, Lord. If anyone here or is listening online, accepted you, believe that you are the Christ, believe you died on the cross for their sins, Lord. That, Lord, if they need to be baptized, Lord, they will come and submit in the waters, and by immersion, Lord, declare their faith in you. Lord, we ask these things in your name. Amen.